500 wolves watched their alpha kneel, not for his Luna, for another woman. He placed the crown on her head like Serafina wasn't standing 10 feet away. Like 3 years meant nothing. Like the pack she'd bled for, built for, stayed quiet for, was never hers to begin with. And Serafina, she didn't scream, didn't beg, didn't even let her hands shake where anyone could see. She just looked at the room, at every elder, every warrior, every merchant who owed their position to her work and not his name. She looked at all of them, and she started counting. He thought he was replacing his Luna. He had no idea he was handing his greatest rival the one woman who could take everything he'd built. By morning, she was gone, and she didn't leave alone. Chapter 1. The hall smelled like pine resin and candle smoke and 3 years of everything she'd built. Serafina noticed that first, the smell. The way the winter gathering always carried that particular mix of cedar torches and the old stone walls that had been here long before Kaelin, long before her, long before either of them decided this place was worth fighting for. She'd overseen the torch lighting herself, 3 winters running. Chose the cedar specifically because the original pine made Elderoth's sinuses swell. Small thing. Nobody ever noticed. That was fine. She hadn't done it to be noticed. She stood at the far left of the dais, which was where she always stood. Kaelin's left, his north flank, the traditional place of the Luna. Her gown was deep burgundy. Her curls were pinned back at the temples, with 2 silver clasps that had belonged to Kaelin's mother. He'd given them to her himself, the night of their bonding ceremony. She could feel them now, cool against her scalp, and she made herself focus on that instead of what was happening in the center of the hall. 500 wolves packed from stone wall to stone wall. The gathering was the largest in a decade. Her doing, that too, since she'd spent the better part of 2 years re-establishing trade relations with the Eastern Pax and the Southern Coalition, so that showing up here actually meant something again. Elders she'd personally written, warriors she'd negotiated safe passage for, merchants whose loyalty she'd earned 1 dinner at a time, 1 careful conversation at a time, 1 quietly solved problem at a time. They were all here, they were all watching. Kaelin stepped to the center of the dais. He looked good. That was the thing about Kaelin. He always looked good in front of a crowd. Tall, dark-haired, broad, through the shoulders, in the way that made younger wolves straighten up without realizing they were doing it. He had a voice that carried without effort and a jaw that was made for candlelight. And 3 years ago, when she was 22 and newly bonded and still figuring out how wide this world actually was, she'd looked at him in rooms like this one and felt something warm move through her chest. She didn't feel that now. She felt the silver clasps against her temples. People of the Northern Pact. His voice filled the hall easily, the way it always did. 3 years ago, I stood in this hall and made a vow. I took a Luna. He paused. The crowd was perfectly still. Not the still of respect, she realized. The still of people who already knew what was coming and were waiting to see how it would land. Tonight, I'm making a different choice. Serafina didn't move. She'd known something was wrong for 6 weeks. Known it the way you know a storm is coming before the sky changes. A pressure difference. A shift in how people looked at her in hallways. Conversations that stopped a beat too late when she entered rooms. She'd started quietly moving things. Accounts she managed. Contacts she'd cultivated. Relationships that were hers by right of the work she'd put in, not by title. She told herself she was being paranoid. She hadn't been paranoid. Isla. The name landed in the hall like a stone into still water, and Serafina watched the ripples. Watched heads turn. Watched the woman step out from the right side of the dais. Isla, 25. Copper-haired, wearing white, which was either a stunning act of boldness or a stunning act of obliviousness. Probably both. She was beautiful in the obvious way. The way that read clearly from 50 feet. Serafina had known about her for 4 months, had chosen very deliberately not to start a war over it, had been waiting instead to see which shape this would take. Now she knew the shape. Kaelin reached into the ceremonial box that Elder Conrath was holding, and Serafina saw the crown, the Luna crown, hammered silver and riverstone, made by Pack Artisans 3 generations back. She had worn it for 3 years. She wasn't wearing it tonight because the gathering protocol didn't require it until the formal address, which was supposed to come later, which was supposed to be a moment they shared. He was holding it in both hands like an offering. He knelt in front of Isla. The hall made a sound, not a gasp exactly, more like a collective intake. 500 people remembering to breathe at the same time, and then going very, very quiet. Serafina's jaw tightened, that was all. That was the only thing her body did without her permission. One small clench of muscle along the line of her jaw, and then she locked it back down. She heard the words, the formal declaration, the acknowledgement that the bond was being severed, the announcement that Isla was being named Luna of the Northern Pact. She heard the words the way you hear thunder through a closed window. Present, real, distant. What she was actually doing was looking at the room. Elder Roth in the third row, who she'd quietly handled 3 grievances for in the past year. He wasn't looking at Kaelin, he was looking at her. His expression was the particular tightness of a man trying to decide something quickly. She held his gaze for 2 seconds, steady, and then moved on. Brennan, her head of merchant relations, a big, quiet man who'd followed her recommendation 3 times over Kaelin's and been right all 3 times. He was near the back left pillar. His arms were crossed. He wasn't clapping with the sparse, stunned applause that had started up at the edges of the room. Mira, her chief strategist, 17 years with the Pack, who had once told Serafina, very quietly, over wine, that the Northern Pack's territory expansion plan was 90% Serafina's thinking and 10% Kaelin's signature. Mira was standing very still near the east door. Her face was blank in the specific way of someone managing something large. Serafina looked at all of them, looked at the room she had filled and the alliances she had built and the wolves who had shown up this winter because she'd given them a reason to. The crown settled on Isla's copper hair. Kaelin rose. He looked at Serafina then, for the first time since he'd stepped to the center of the dais. His expression was complicated in the way that things are complicated when people do something they know is wrong and have decided to do it anyway. There was something in it that might have been an apology. There was also something in it that was very clearly a conclusion. He'd made his choice. She held his gaze for 3 seconds, not with heat, not with tears. Just held it, the way you hold a door open long enough to make a point, and then let it go. She turned and walked off the dais, not fast, not slow. Exactly as measured and deliberate as every other thing she'd ever done in this hall. Her heels were quiet on the stone. The crowd parted without her asking. She didn't look back. She didn't stop at the edge of the hall. She walked straight through the side passage into the cold stone corridor beyond, and the door closed behind her with a sound like a period at the end of a sentence. In the corridor alone, she reached up and unpinned the silver clasps from her hair. She held them in her palm for a moment, turned them over once. They were good work, old Pack silver, clean lines, real weight. She'd always liked them. She set them on the window ledge at the end of the corridor without looking back and kept walking. Chapter 2, she packed in 40 minutes. Not because she was rushing, because she'd already packed 2 weeks ago when the shape of this had started becoming clear. Most of it was already staged in the third floor room she used as her private office. A locked chest of documents, 2 leather satchels of personal effects, the small iron box where she kept the ledger copies she'd started quietly making last month. Copies of everything. Account records, trade agreements, supply contracts, all the documents that had her signature on them, all the work that had her fingerprints on it. She'd made doubles, slow and careful, 1 document at a time over 6 weeks. Nobody had noticed. People rarely noticed the paperwork. She moved through her chambers doing a last sweep. Clothes, only what fit in 1 bag, only what was practical. A photograph from the shelf above the fireplace. Not of Kaelin, not of the bonding ceremony. One of her mother, taken 10 years ago, standing in a field with her face turned up toward gray sky like she was daring it to rain. Serafina wrapped it in a scarf and packed it without stopping. Her wolf was restless under her skin. The bond severing had done something physical. She could feel it like a pulled stitch, a place where something had been attached that wasn't anymore. It didn't hurt exactly. It was more like the cold that comes in when a window is opened, sharp, clarifying, hard to ignore. She chose to find it useful. The knock came at 43 minutes. She opened the door to Brennan. He was still in gathering clothes, his broad shoulders filling the doorframe, and he had his hat in his hands, which he only ever did when he was fidgeting about something. "Where?" he said. "Just that." She looked at him for a moment. "I haven't decided the exact location yet, east first. I have contacts in Harrifin." He nodded, slow and deliberate. "I've got 8 merchants who'll follow wherever you lead. Maybe more by morning. I'll take everyone who comes willingly. I'm not asking anyone, I know." He turned the hat over in his hands. "That's why they're coming." She stepped back to let him in, and he moved to help with the locked chest without being asked, because Brennan had always been that kind of person, the kind who saw what needed doing and did it, quietly, without requiring acknowledgement. She'd cultivated people like that, specifically, because she understood early that a pack's real power lived in its reliable ones. Mira arrived 11 minutes later with a roll of maps under her arm and a look that said she had already started planning the logistics of a departure before she'd even fully decided to make one. "There are 22 warriors who won't swear to Isla," Mira said, spreading a map on the table with both hands flat. "Not tonight, anyway. Give them a reason and a direction and you'll have fighters." "I'm not building an army," Mira looked up. "I know. But they'll follow you anyway, so you might as well give them something constructive to do." Serafina looked at the map. The Northern Pack's territory spread across it in familiar lines she'd helped negotiate and expand over 3 years. The eastern border, the Harrowfin Pass, and beyond it, Asheville lands. She'd thought about that. She'd been thinking about it for 6 weeks, carefully and from several angles, the way she thought about everything. The Asheville Pack was the Northern Pact's nearest rival, not hostile exactly, but competitive. Their alpha, Dorian Asheville, had been at 3 of the same Interpack summits she'd attended in the past 2 years. She had spoken to him directly exactly 2. Both times, she'd come away with a distinct impression of a person who listened more than he spoke and retained everything. He'd never underestimated her. She'd noticed that. It wasn't much to build on, but it was something. "Pack the maps," she said. She was down the back stairs and into the cold night air by the time the hall behind her was still buzzing with the aftermath of everything Kaelin had just done. She could hear it distantly. Voices, the particular sound of a crowd that doesn't know yet how much has changed. She paused in the dark courtyard, her breath misting in front of her, the weight of both satchels balanced across her shoulders, and she felt the cold come fully into her lungs. She thought about 3 years. She thought about the Alliance letters she'd written, and the supply routes she'd reorganized, and the 2 failed peace negotiations she'd quietly salvaged from the back room while Kaelin took credit for them in the front. She thought about the pack she'd helped build from the inside out, brick by brick, relationship by relationship, problem by unglamorous problem. She thought about the crown on Isla's copper hair. She exhaled. Then she picked up her bag and walked to where Brennan had a cart waiting, and she didn't look back at the hall once. Chapter 3. She reached Asheville territory on the 2nd day. The crossing itself was strange. Not dangerous, since there was no declared hostility between the packs, but strange in the way that all border crossings are strange when you've lived on the other side of them for years. The trees changed. Different undergrowth, different bird sounds, a quality to the air that was adjacent to the north, but not quite it. Her wolf noted the shift and went still and watchful, the way a wolf does when it enters new land. There were 31 of them in total. Herself, Brennan, Mira, 9 of the merchants, 14 warriors who'd caught up to them on the road, and 4 of the pack's senior healers who had decided, without much discussion, that their allegiance had been to the Luna's work and not to the Alpha's title. One of the healers, an older woman named Petra, had walked the first 12 miles without complaint, and then quietly mentioned that she had a bad hip. They'd found her a horse. Serafina hadn't asked anyone to come. She hadn't had to. That was the thing about 3 years of unglamorous, consistent, actually getting things done work. People noticed. They just didn't always say so out loud. They were met at the Ashvale border post by two warriors and a message that had been waiting for them, apparently, since that morning. She stared at the sealed letter in Brennan's hand. Her name was on the outside, in handwriting she didn't recognize. "That's not possible," Mira said. "Someone talked," Brennan said, already scanning the tree line. "Nobody talked." Serafina took the letter he knew. She broke the seal. The note inside was brief, and it was written in the particular style of someone who had no interest in wasting words. "Your path has been watched for longer than you know. Ashvale offers shelter, a council space, and terms you will find respectful. No obligation, no rush. My only request is that you eat before we talk. You've been traveling 2 days, and negotiations are better when both parties can think clearly." She read it twice, felt the small, unexpected shift of something in her chest. Not warmth, not yet. Something more careful than warmth. Something that was paying attention. "He knew we were coming," Mira said again, this time less like a problem and more like a fact she was filing away. "He knew I was coming," Serafina said. "He probably didn't know about the 31. Is that good or bad?" She folded the letter and tucked it inside her coat, against her ribs, where she'd feel it. "Let's go find out." The Ashvale compound was older than the Northern Pact's hall. Low stone buildings grown over with decades of ivy, a layout that felt like it had evolved rather than been designed, which she'd learned meant a pack that had been stable for a long time. Stability meant something. Stability was something she understood. She was shown to a room, given water, given food that was plain and good, and exactly what her body needed after 2 days of travel rations, and then given 30 uninterrupted minutes to sit by herself in a chair, by a window, and just breathe. It was the 30 minutes that undid her almost. Not the ceremony, not the crown, not the walk off the dais, or the 40 minutes of packing, or the 2 day cold crossing. 30 quiet minutes alone, sitting in a chair that belonged to someone else's house, in territory that wasn't hers, with nothing immediate to manage. That was when her hands started to shake. She pressed them flat on her thighs, looked out the window at the Ashvale courtyard, where a few of her own people were being shown to quarters, where Brennan was talking to one of the Ashvale warriors with that steady, open body language he used with everyone. Familiar shapes in unfamiliar spaces. She breathed until her hands were still. It took a while. That was all right. She'd learned a long time ago that falling apart in private is not the same as weakness. It's just maintenance. Dorian Ashvale met her in a small room off the main hall. A working room, bookshelves and maps, and the kind of organized disorder that came from someone who was actually using the space rather than performing authority in it. He was standing at the window when she came in, not at the head of the table, which she noticed immediately. She'd seen him twice at Interpack summits, both times from a distance, both times surrounded by his own people, both times giving the impression of a man who was watching everything and deciding very carefully what to do about it. Up close, he was quieter than she'd expected. Not small. He had the build of someone who worked, not just trained, wide through the shoulders, with the particular stillness of people who have nothing to prove. Dark hair, darker eyes, a face that had a few years on her, and an expression that was just reading her, not appraising, reading most people appraised. They looked for surface information, title, appearance, what was being projected. Reading was different. Reading was slower. Reading meant someone was actually trying to understand what they were looking at. She held his gaze across the room and said nothing for a moment, because she was doing the same thing back. "You already ate?" he said. "Yes, good." He pulled out the chair across from his and sat down in one smooth motion that was the opposite of ceremony. "Then we can talk," she sat. "Your letter suggested no rush. I lied about that part, a beat." Something that was almost a smile, but didn't commit to it. "The Northern Pact is going to notice what they've lost inside a week. Kaylin will start trying to reconsolidate within too. I'd like us to have a framework before he does something stupid. She looked at him steadily. You've been watching the Northern Pact for a while. I've been watching you for a while, he said it plainly, without any weight on it beyond the fact of it. Not as a line, not as a compliment, as information. You turned three failing trade routes into the backbone of the Northern economy. You reestablished the Eastern alliances after they'd been cold for a decade. The winter gathering attendance went from 60 wolves to 500 in 3 years. A pause. Kaylin didn't do that, no, she said. He didn't. What he did last night, Dorian said, and his voice changed slightly. Not softer, something more precise, was hand me the most capable person in the Northern Pact. I'd like to not waste that. She sat with that for a moment, felt something in her chest that was strange to name. It wasn't gratitude exactly. It wasn't the flush of being seen. It was something colder and cleaner. The specific feeling of someone stating something true. What are you offering? She said. He turned the map on the table so it was oriented toward her. What do you need? Chapter 4. It took 6 days to work out the initial terms. She hadn't expected it to take that long, but she hadn't expected him to be that thorough either. Dorian Ashvale had a mind like a well-organized room. Nothing in it without reason, nothing placed carelessly. Every question asked because he actually wanted the answer, and not because he was performing due diligence. On the third day of negotiations, she'd answered something about the Eastern supply chain in more detail than he'd asked for, and he'd tracked it, followed up, and adjusted three separate clauses based on what she'd said. She'd noticed. She'd had to stop herself from noticing too much. She built a working structure for what she was calling, in her private notes, the transition. Not a pack, not yet. A coalition, a breathing framework of people and resources and agreements that could grow into something durable. Brennan ran the merchant integration with the same quiet competence he always had. Mira mapped out the territorial implications with a white chalkboard and a ruthlessness that made even the Ashvale strategists lean forward. The 14 warriors settled into Ashvale's training yard within a day, because warriors everywhere speak the same language, and Seraphina moved through all of it, steady as current. On the fifth night, she sat alone at the window of the room they'd given her. A better room now, with a proper desk and a view of the river, and let herself think about what had happened. Not the ceremony, the before, the 3 years of before. She was trying to locate the exact moment it had started going wrong, and what she kept arriving at was that there wasn't a moment. It was a direction, a slow drift in a direction she'd seen and chosen a dozen small times not to make a crisis of, because making a crisis of it would have cost the pack, and she'd always put the pack first. She wondered, in the cold quiet of that fifth night, whether that had been wisdom or habit, whether there was a difference. She decided it didn't matter anymore. The time for that kind of question was behind her. What was in front of her was something she hadn't had in 3 years, space. Space to build something that was hers, not as an extension of someone else's ambition, not as the invisible architecture beneath a structure someone else got to put their name on, something where the work and the credit lived in the same place. That was new. She was still learning the shape of it. The news from the Northern Pact came in on the sixth morning. Brennan brought it to her without expression, which was how she knew it was significant. The message was from Elder Roth, sent through a third-party courier, careful, deniable. She read it at her desk while Brennan stood near the door. The Northern Pact was fracturing, not catastrophically, not yet, but the alliances she'd built with the Eastern Pacts had cooled immediately after her departure. Because she'd built them on personal trust and personal relationships, and Isla had none of those relationships and no understanding of why they existed. Two of the supply contracts had gone sideways within 4 days because the contact points she'd been the liaison for had simply stopped returning correspondence when she wasn't the one sending it. One of the warrior captains had resigned, citing, according to Roth's careful phrasing, a loss of confidence in directional leadership. Kaylin had called 3 emergency council sessions in 5 days. She set the message down, looked at the river out the window. She'd known this would happen. She'd known it the way she'd known a lot of things. Quietly, accurately, without making a production of the knowing. You didn't build what she'd built without understanding exactly how load-bearing it was, without understanding what happened when you took the keystone out. She hadn't built it to be irreplaceable. She'd built it because it needed to be built. The irreplaceability was a consequence, not a plan, but it was a consequence she could use now. Dorian knocked twice and came in without waiting for an answer, which she'd noticed he always did. 2 knocks, both courtesy and announcement, neither apology for the intrusion. He had papers in one hand. He took the chair on the far side of the desk with the easy certainty of someone who'd already decided this was a working relationship. "The Roth message," he said. "Not a question. You intercepted it? I knew it was coming." Roth has been hedging his position for 3 days. He set his papers down. "The Eastern Pax are already making contact, by the way. Not with me. With you, specifically." She looked at him. 2 inquiries so far," he said. "They want to know if you're still in play. Whether the agreements you made still have a home." She was quiet for a moment. Outside, the river moved. Somewhere in the compound, she could hear Mira's voice, explaining something with the particular precision of someone who was about to draw a very definitive line on a map. "They're not Kaylin's agreements," she said. "They never were." No, Dorian was watching her with that reading expression, the one she'd been cataloging for 6 days without meaning to. "They're yours." She sat back in her chair. Something in her chest had been quiet for 3 years. A specific kind of quiet. The quiet of a room where all the windows are closed and the air doesn't move. She could feel it now, that room. Feel it for the first time because she was no longer inside it. Because she was standing outside it in the cold air of something new. And the cold was sharp and real. And she was breathing it in deliberately. "I'll need full council standing," she said. "Done. Independent budget authority for the Eastern Corridor. Already in the draft," she looked at him directly. "And I'll need people to stop expecting me to be grateful." The pause that followed was brief. 1 beat, 2, and then something moved in his expression that she hadn't seen there before. Not a smile, but its precursor. The thing that happens in a face before a person decides whether to let themselves be amused or not. "Consider it noted," he said. She nodded once, turned back to her papers, and began making a list. There were Eastern contacts to re-establish. Supply routes to formally absorb into the new framework. 3 of the Northern Pax merchant agreements that were technically in her name and could be renegotiated with the right approach inside a week. A coalition structure that was breathing but needed bones. She worked until the light outside the window went gold and then gray. And when Mira knocked at the door at dusk with a summary of the territorial analysis and a question about the river crossing rights in the Northeast Corridor, Serafina answered it without looking up from the map she was annotating, because the answer was already clear in her mind and had been since this morning. She'd always known exactly what she was doing. Kaylin had just never bothered to notice. The message came 3 days later, not from Roth this time. From Kaylin himself, delivered through 2 intermediaries, written in his own hand, which she recognized after 3 years the way you recognize anything that used to mean something. It was short. It said, "Name your term." She read it once, set it flat on the desk. Let the silence in the room sit for a moment, full and particular, the silence of something that had completed itself. Then she looked at Dorian, who was leaning against the doorframe with a cup of tea and an expression that was carefully, scrupulously neutral, except for the small thing happening at the corner of his mouth. "He wants terms," she said. "I know. He thinks this is still a negotiation." "He thinks," Dorian said, setting down his cup, "that you left because you were hurt, that if he offers you enough, you'll come back to the structure you built and resume maintaining it for him." She looked at the letter. At the handwriting she knew, at the 2 small words at its center, "your terms," which were meant to read as concession, but read to her, a as a man who still didn't understand what had actually walked out of his hall. She turned the letter over on the desk, blank side up, picked up her pen, and wrote on the back of it in her clear, unhurried hand the three words she'd been carrying quietly for 6 weeks, through everything, through all of it, the packing and the crossing and the cold and the 30 shaking minutes in a chair that wasn't hers. Three words she wrote without heat, without ceremony, without any of the anger she'd earned and chosen not to spend. You've lost everything. She folded it once, handed it to Dorian without looking at him. He took it. She went back to her maps. Outside, the Asheville compound was moving at its steady pace. The sound of 31 people, finding their footing in new land, making themselves useful, putting down roots in soil that was finally paying attention to what they grew. Somewhere in the yard below, she could hear Brennan laughing at something, that big, quiet laugh he had, and the sound of it moved through the window and into the room where she was working, and she let herself hear it, just for a moment, before she turned back to the page. There was a coalition to build. She'd already started.